And Laura Cagle, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Women of a Certain Rage is edited by Liz Bursky. Does it do what it says on the cover?
Oh, yes, it does. It's a great title, isn't it? Women of a Certain Rage. It's a collection of short essays, really, from the perspective of 20 female Australian writers. When I picked it up, I wondered, is that title a play on certain age? Are all the pieces going to be written by women of a certain age? But no, the writers are all of different ages as well as backgrounds, but they are all Australian. And it does read as a very Australian book. Some of the topics discussed are very much embedded in the Australian experience. There's a woman who works in immigration detention centres. There's a piece on the Uluru Statement from the Heart. Rage and anger and struggle and being angry about things you feel powerless to change, they are universal, but this is quite an Australian take. It's an interesting idea. I mean, who doesn't want to feel that their anger is shared by others and thus completely normal? I think I would have enjoyed it a bit more had it been a global collection. There's been some great feminist writing come out of South Korea over the last couple of years, and I was missing that kind of creativity in this. I enjoyed reading some of the pieces, but I did, to be honest, find that 230 pages of anger can be a bit much anger. I recommend reading it in short bursts or outbursts, if you like, not maybe ploughing through the whole thing. There is a lot of variety, though, in the stories that are told. Despite the title, I think what this collection says is that there is no certain female rage. There are many kinds and many reasons to be angry and causes to be angry about, as there are ways to respond to that rage. Do you let the anger and sorrow in and treat them as honoured guests, like Renee Pettit-Shipp, who she's the woman who teaches children at the immigration detention centre on Cocos Island? Her story I found particularly sad. Do you, as she does, welcome the rage until love and joy begin to pour in, and she becomes exhilarated by the sheer wonder of being alive, of the curious nature of each of our journeys, by the joy of being human among so much wild beauty in this incredible and troubled world? Or do you flow with your anger like Claire G. Coleman and turn its energy into fuel, aim it and sharpen it and try to use it to change the world? Do you feel energised and empowered like Rafif Ismail, a Somali Australian author? After all, she says, the greater the challenge, the greater the change. Or like Jane Underwood, and I really liked her piece, do you bear the rage like a heavy, itchy blanket as you battle ridiculously against it to achieve what she talks about as the gracious peace of the inner self? She has a great line where she says, I often wonder what the colonial women did without yoga, or were they just so infantile that they had no time for their gracious peace? There's quite a few quite funny pieces in here, and some of them talk about the nature of anger, and some stick purely to the causes that they feel enraged about. For me, the ones that were the most enjoyable to read, and I guess by enjoyable I mean the most satisfyingly tragic and recognisably human, were the ones that were based around family relationships. There's a beautiful piece near the beginning by Jay Martin called My Father's Daughter, and she had a tough relationship with her dad, and she writes about the last time they talked before he died. She was on her OE, she'd sort of escaped overseas with something to prove, and she rang home for Christmas. And she says, I thought he'd be excited to hear my stories. Maybe he thought I'd be ready to admit defeat and come home. The international trunk line crackled with our seething over each other's failures to live up to expectations. I just thought that was so beautiful, that line. She says, I didn't understand until much later that our anger at each other wasn't an expression of how we felt towards each other. It was a manifestation of our inability to express how we felt. If only doctors, teachers, anyone had diagnosed not anger issues, but anguish issues, there might be fewer scars today on myself and on others.
So that's interesting. Some came at it as a natural state in response to things that are wrong. Others came at it as almost part of the human condition.
Absolutely, yeah. And I found those who took that latter take just more satisfying to read. I think, you know, not to diminish the issues and causes that the other women were writing about, but it was just a bit exhausting after a while, and I feel keenly aware of potentially letting down the feminist sisterhood as I say that. But if you read these all in one go, it's a bit much. I'd really recommend dipping into it and getting different perspectives to then think about. But overwhelmingly, at the end, I felt the most in sync with one of the writers, Carrie Cox, who's in general a bit over anger. She sees the power of it, but she just thinks, you know, it's done. She says its reputation for being an agent of change is overrated. Anger alone inflicts hurt, not change. Hurt that can't be undone, only stowed away. We can do better than spewing forth ever more anger into this troubled world. And I kind of agree with her.
Thank you, Laura. Laura Cagle. Women of a Certain Rage is edited by Liz Bursky, published by Fremantle Press, and costs $37.